Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. We're running a little behind schedule, but technical difficulties was bound to happen to us for today. Today, our topic is parent-child relationships, understanding the roles and the relationship of those children. So let's start by talking about the communication. Most children today, we know that they use text, they speak, and they Skype, and they Snapchat. So we have to figure out how to communicate with them on their level sometimes. For instance, if you are a techie parent, you can, if you're trying to get your child to do something, I've actually done this one before. I sent my child a text message and told him to take out the dog.
I do it all the time.
It works.
Take it for a walk?
Yeah, take the dogs out. It's one of those things that I knew that his phone was going to be by him. Somewhere near him, somewhere in his breath, his breathing technique. So it was one of those things I just decided to try, and it actually worked. He replied back, okay. So
one of my nurses says that with her two children.
Yeah.
During the day, they're in school. They don't have phones. They have, like, tablets that they have to use in school.
Mm-hmm.
So they can send them messages through the tablet. So that's how she talks to them during the day about what's going to happen after school.
That's how I know Maddie's schedule after school. I got her a phone because it says every day you have to text me what clubs you have, what time I have to pick you up.
Exactly.
I can't keep track anymore. She's got too much going on.
Right.
I have too much going on. The boys have too much going on. That's the only way.
Right.
Mom, you have to pick me up at 5 today.
Right.
Okay, got it.
There. So those communication factors that we know that our children are into, we can sometimes break down and talk to them on their level. Not saying that's the only form of communications that you need to do, but it's okay to embrace that technology and to embrace your children with technology on their level is what we're saying.
Sometimes that's the easiest way to get through to them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It actually is. So using technology is not always a bad thing. Now, there are some times I honestly say that we don't use technology, of course, at the table. I make everyone put their tablet, phones, or whatever away from the table because if we are eating, that's our family time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Have you seen the meme that they have on Facebook and it all of a sudden stacks up on top of each other, face down? And whoever touches their phone first, if they're upbeat, that's safer. That's safer than dinner for everybody.
Oh, I will touch my phone ever again in life.
So basically, I guess the premise is you all sit down, you go out to eat, you all sit down, everybody puts their phone on the table. Whoever touches their phone first, they're responsible for
dinner. You know who that would be? Mine? My mother. My mother, who is 64 years old, is a Facebook junkie. She has to watch the little videos of the doggies and everything. And she is the one that always has a phone, and I have to say, Mom, put your phone down. She just laughs at me because she thinks it's funny.
Right.
But, yeah, my mother. She's
the one. Kay and I would never have to pay for a meal again.
I know.
With my other half, we know he'd have it within 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah. I'm bad about it. I panic when I forget it because of my grandmother. The nurses reach me, you know, that way. So they're always texting me how she's doing and her vital signs and everything. And I panic if my grandfather can't get a hold of me.
Right.
Yeah.
So we basically have learned that in this society with all the different cell phones, texting, instant messaging, FaceTime, Skyping, Snapchat, emails and videos, it's okay to, that helps us communicate better with our children.
wonder how we used to live without them.
It's amazing
how
we used to live without them.
When you can't find your kid in a crowd.
Yeah.
Go stand by this statue, and I'll be there in a minute. You know,
right.
You're not panicked that they're missing. You call them and say, get your butt in the
water. Right. It was so funny. Last night at Kiwanis competition, it was the funniest thing because band members can't have their cell phones. So while they're doing a performance. So I guess a parent was looking for the band child, decided to do a shout-out. Meet me by the concession stand now. That's what we heard over the intercom. That was the funniest thing.
But it worked.
But it worked. Uh-huh. It was one of those funny things, but it worked.
Because when the CMC said, I have a shout-out, all the kids went, is it me?
Right.
And then the one kid who was like,
right. So using, like, three channels of communication with your child, it helps increase your overall relationship and quality and satisfaction of what you want to get from your child.
Meaning, like, the phone.
Right.
Little notes that you leave for them, the text messages.
Right.
Letting the bus driver know what they need to do when they get home. So he reinforces it. Whatever it takes, there's different ways, because your kids look up to you know, certain people, and if they ask them to do something, then sometimes they're more apt to do it. So
mm-hmm.
whatever it takes to open those channels with your kids, and, you know.
Sounds like with Indra, getting him to do his homework on Mondays when he has scouts, even though he goes from the school to the daycare,
mm-hmm.
it's not for that long, because then he leaves back and goes back to school with Tracy's scouts. But whereas one of the other people say, hey, do your homework, doesn't happen. So when Tracy says, sit down, do your homework, guess what? It's just kind of doesn't come up.
Right. One of those good communications, technology isn't always bad. That's a good form of communicating with your child. Now, we do know that there are some times we have difficulty communicating with our children because of work schedules, because of everyday busy lives. So you have to understand that if your children are reacting in such a manner, it may be because they're not getting the time and attention from you. You know, there's times that I know I'm constantly busy, but my kids will stop me and they'll hug me, they'll kiss me, Mommy, we just want to do this. Well, Mommy, we just want to chill, you know.
And my youngest comes to me and says, Mom, you hadn't hung out with me.
Exactly.
You know, but they feel they're comfortable enough to come and tell me that.
Right.
You've been too busy.
Right.
You need to spend time with me.
Right.
You know, whereas my little girl that just turned 13, she won't say that. She just acts out.
Yeah.
And gets, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but then, you know, you spend more time with her and things level out. But
right.
we have to be able to read it too.
You
want to know what normal behaviors for them and what isn't.
Because right. when they are reacting, there's things that, number one, parents, we already have things to stress out over. So,
you mean everything.
Everything. We stress out over. We don't want to be stressing out over keeping our children's relationships open. You know, there are some people that have, they don't have set schedules. They may work in retail or they may work in, you know, different areas of their lives, and they may work in different ways, and they never see their children. But you have to figure out a time frame or set some time apart to understand that when your child is giving you negative feedback, what's really going on? Am I working too much? Am I not spending enough time? Am I missing too much of their activities? You know what I mean?
My current situation is probably a really good example of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a set schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I take care of my grandparents.
Right.
Which is like inheriting a full 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandfather has Alzheimer's. My grandmother has advanced dementia.
Right.
And their dog a few months ago came down with diabetes.
Oh, wow.
So now I've got the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
Acting up, acting out,
mm-hmm.
and literally my grandparents are like a couple of toddlers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm there 3 days a week, and I never know exactly what time I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
When my grandpa gets
his errands done, and he gets to a point where he's comfortable enough with, for me to leave. Sometimes he wants to chit-chat when I tell him I'm ready to go. So my kids never know what time I'm getting home. They always are like, well, you're always at Granny Jane's. But they're having to understand that this is something that has to be done. I have to help with my grandparents. I can't just, I can't just let them go because they can't concentrate.
Right.
On my grandfather can't do her medications. He has a hard time changing her diapers.
Right. He needs help. She needs help. So that's what you're there. You can help.
And he needs a break. He has to get out of the house. And the only time he's able to do that is when I'm there.
And it's hard for them to understand that. Eventually, one day, the roles are going to be reversed.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be you needing the help from them that you're providing to your grandparents.
Right.
You know, they're going to have to be providing it to you or to their grandparents eventually one day. So, but even still, it's hard to understand when that's kind of taken away from them.
They've gotten better about it. We sat down and had a family discussion about the situation. And my husband's not working right now, so he's at home, which doesn't help matters. You know, he's a great guy. He's short, patient with the kids when they don't do what they're told the first time around, and, you know, and as teenagers won't do. But so we had to sit down and have a family discussion that I need them to step up. They've got to start helping out. You know, I shouldn't have to list everything, but we do. We have to list everything. I have a couple kids that are ADD. You have to list everything out for them. You can't just tell them, I want these five things done. They won't remember them.
Right.
You list them all out for them. But we had to open up channels of discussion to make sure that everybody knew what was going on and what was expected, you know. But things had gotten very stressful before we did that because the kids never knew when I was going to get home. If I was going to make dinner when I got home or anything. So it got pretty, you know, my two youngest were acting out quite a bit, and so was my now 15-year-old. You know, he had his own way of acting out.
Right.
So, yeah, we had family discussions together.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things I think it's a learning curve for, I mean, I don't think I would ever stop learning.
Me either.
And developing relationships with people and my children.
I mean, you know, we had to learn. We had to put him on, you know, so we put him on a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually worked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the transformation, you know, we had tried before, but it was more like, do this, this, and this. He'd get through the first one and a half and then be like, focus, turn it in circles. And I'm like, now that it's in black and white and it's home, tapes on the refrigerator door and on his bedroom door. This is what you have to do during this time frame. And we're using the timer on the stove so that he knows. This is how long you have.
Structure in my house.
Oh, no. This is just into a week and a half of it.
Mm-hmm.
So far,
it's been working.
It's working.
The wood's back in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really not on that
hard. Yeah. So far, it's working, and our meltdowns have gone 4-hour meltdown, which Kate's seen and experienced.
Is this the redhead?
No.
The big one.
Okay. Well, and the redhead is now starting to mimic our brother.
Uh-huh.
So, and so he sees it. He gets mad. I'm like, you can't get mad at him. You know why you can't get mad at him? He's doing exactly what you do.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing it in his own way, but he's doing exactly what you do. So you have to understand, if you don't want him to act like that, you can't act like that.
Right.
In order to change him, we got to change you. We got to change the way mom and dad react to you. And that's been a big change as well, but it works. And especially, you know, like you said, your husband doesn't have patience, neither does mine.
Mm-hmm.
So
neither does mine.
Yeah.
With that change, we've all learned, and versus everybody getting upset when he loses control.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, they act out in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
The ways that their brains can, you know,
can develop, you know, can
the way they think they're going to get the most attention.
Exactly.
Regardless
exactly.
of whether it's negative or positive.
Right.
Well, I have to say, I think that's fantastic. I personally think that out of a lot of the relationships I've seen with parents of their kids, and I haven't seen your dynamics with your children very much. I know that Tavian and I have really good relationships with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean really good relationships with our kids. And I think we have good relationships with each other's kids.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come to us if they have a problem. And I'm pretty sure one of these days yours
mm-hmm.
are going to mesh in with everything else. But hers will
yeah,
come
to mine. Listens to him.
Mm-hmm. Well, her kid comes
her.
To me. Yeah. Her children come to me if they have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mine will go to her if they have a problem,
right.
you know. And we communicate on discipline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one time I took Karan's phone away from him
mm-hmm.
when he was spending the night. And she followed through with that,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's all in communication and not just with the kids, but with everyone in the kids' lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like
oh,
mine's
yeah.
grounded right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't do anything. So then I kind of communicated that to most of the parents. So,
right.
you know, it's just, I know that due to the texting, and we're all on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
so I Facebook my kids with some of the cute little things I find on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We have a good open communication.
Right. Right.
You know, sometimes I think with my 15-year-old, little too stupid. He talks to me about things that I have no clue about. But if I don't know, I try to find out the answer.
Yeah.
But
it's the same with mine. I mean, he'll be 10 in a week, and it's like, he'll say something to me, and I'll just say, Kevin, he's like, no, I'm here. Let me tell you. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
I'm stupid.
His mind was Boys Anatomy. And I took those classes, but I don't have Boys Anatomy, so I have to Google it. Make sure things are,
we have a call. Hold on.
Hi, we have Alita on the line with us. She is a motivational speaker, and she will kind of give us her insight of the understanding the parent and child relationship. Alita, are you there?
I am.
Hi. So we was just basically going over and talking about the communication channels with our kids, how it's okay to embrace the Snapchats and the tweeting and the emailing and the texting with your children to get them to open up and, you know, it increased the communication with your child. And then we was also talking about how irregular work schedules may put a strain on those parent-child relationships as well. So why don't you give us a little bit of your insight in what you've been able to display with other children? Because I know you deal with a lot of youth as well, right?
Yes, I have. And I just want to say that, tell me who all is on the line, who is all on the line.
Well, you have me, Stephanie, and Tiffy. That's all here.
Tiffany, you, and myself, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I have. I'm very familiar with having an irregular schedule. Kavion, I can hear you, but it's kind of in and out with you. So I think I have a glimpse of what you said. But you was talking about irregular scheduling with parents, as well as trying to, I guess, their role in the household with irregular schedules, correct?
Right, and how
yes.
that may put a strain on your relationship with your children.
Like yes, yes.
Sometimes children tend to act out when they're not getting enough time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a little bit of insight of what you think?
Yes, I actually, I am one of those who have an irregular schedule. I live a busy life, and my children also, we have busy lives, especially when my daughter, my older daughter, 14 years old, is involved in sports at school. So a lot of times I find that we become so busy with, you know, the things that we have going on. You know, parents have business related stuff going on. You know, if you're a single parent household, you have other functions that you have going on for is, you know, trying to give everybody adequate attention, you know, depending on what age your children are.
Right.
But it creates a strain, I think, for parents who have irregular schedules with work, working from 8 to 5, 8 to 6. You're coming home, you know, kids have homework, stuff like that. And it creates a lot of hostility, I feel like, and not as much of the emotional bonding with your child during that time because you're rushed. You're coming home from work. You're rushed to get things done for the next day, especially if you're a single mother. You know, if you have a husband and he's able to help with those duties in the household, it kind of makes it better where you're not as stressed and things like that. But being a single parent household, it does create a lot of, you know, tension with the parent and the child to where that relationship becomes more like enemies because that emotional bond is not being established because everybody's schedule is so, you know, so dysfunctional, as I put it.
Right. Well, Alita, thank you so much for calling in and giving us your input. We are going to wrap our conversation up. I do want to point out some of the things that I have researched and found out that there are three types of parenting styles. There's the guilty parent, there's the anxious parent, and there's the fix everything parent. So us as women, we need to actually figure out which parent we are. The guilty parent is something has gone wrong. You know, that's one of those, the parent feels guilty. And to ease their guilt, they give their kids too much freedom and not enough limits, not enough rules. There's the anxious parent that always worrying and always expressing that anxiety. They're always, you know, trying to experience parents, it says their children experience a parent's anxiety as, I don't believe in you or I don't trust you. The fix everything parents, these parents can't stand to see their children frustrated and constantly step in and solve problems for them. So we're not letting them be the child that needs to grow up in this society.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's four types. There's an all of the above parent.
You're right.
What was that statement? I couldn't hardly hear.
That was Stephanie. Stephanie says there's a fourth type. There's an all of the above parent.
Yes, I agree with that.
The guilty parent, the anxious parent, and the fix everything parent. But I think to bring this to a closure, what we realize as parents is we do take on a lot, and then there's a lot for us to try to display and try to to put those values and morals into our children. And we hope that our children will understand it. They may not understand it right this moment, but they will understand it later in life. There are things that parents do, children don't understand, but hopefully it will get to a point where children are a little bit accepting and say, oh, my mom was doing this because she was tired.
So I think, too, that most of us want our parents, our children, to understand that we're doing the best we can.
Exactly.
And that we all make mistakes. And, you know, and that it's okay to make mistakes.
Right.
And the kids, you know, that we're okay making mistakes, then they're not as anxious or, you know, and they're more likely to feel like they're on your level.
Right. So we would like to take this time and thank everyone, especially thank you, Ms. Alita, for joining us and calling in today.
Yes, I really apologize. I had to speak at church and service went way over, and I really hate I was late.
Not a problem.
I had to leave the service today.
We appreciate you calling in. We hope you have a wonderful day, and for everyone out there that is listening, we hope you have a wonderful day as well.
Until next time, we will see you next month. And our topic,
keep on the sunny side.
But I want you to call.
Awesome.
Keep on the sunny side. That's from Miss Stephanie. Y'all have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you.